Hey, make sure that you subscribe to the Lando Calrissian Experience and all the different shows on Lando Cal Experience on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, everywhere that you would want to get your podcasting from. So you may be listening to this on the Stroud Low Cash feed. And if you are, make sure you go over to Lando Cal feed and subscribe there so you can get more content, more things about nerd culture and movies and comics and topics that we'll be having going out. Email us LandoCalPod@gmail.com. Find us on Facebook at Lando Calrissian Experience, as well as find us on Twitter too, Lando Cal Pod, on Twitter as well. So we're everywhere social media is too. So go on there, check us out, follow us, all that good stuff. Also, this episode is sponsored by Rabbit Charger, rabbitcharger.com. And Rabbit Charger is a rapid way of charging your phone between multiple outlets at the same time, without the long cords and long issues that you normally have about trying to find your charger, and rid you of the clutter, and also gives you swappable charging tips for Android and iOS's. So go ahead and check them out at rabbitcharger.com and support their Kickstarter they have going on as well. And welcome to the show. Sitting here, chilling out. No Raven, no Matt. Tyler's here with me, of course.
You're stuck with just me.
Yeah, you might as well make just me and Tyler show at this point. Like, but no, everyone's been a rotating cast. Everybody's been good. Everybody's, trying to hustle and do their thing, so you can't get mad at that. Raven's got millions of cases, I guess, going on.
So. She travels a lot, too. That's hard. Yeah. That's a hard way to live.
Yeah. And you're a lawyer. It's not like you like a pop star or something, you getting to hang out and
she doesn't have an entourage.
Yeah, M&M's or nothing. She don't get none of that.
Yeah. I read a do you know why they made him take it was Van Halen made him take out all the brown M&M's.
So is that what started that whole thing of like people and their riders being ridiculous? Van Halen started that?
Van Halen started it. And they actually had a reason for it. Everyone thought they were just being assholes.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, they were traveling with a setup that was like the most complicated and heavy stage setup that anyone had ever traveled with. And they wanted to make sure it was set up correctly. Because if it wasn't, it was a huge safety issue.
Oh, so they wanted to make sure they looked at everything on the rider.
They wanted to make sure they read the rider. And that way they could go into the dressing room and they figured if they didn't bother to take out the brown M&M's, they didn't bother to set the stage up right. So they knew not to play.
So other people are just being assholes now doing it.
Yeah, it's become a joke.
Yeah.
But it was like a canary in the coal mine kind of situation.
Do you think other acts still do that because of that, or you think they're being a-holes most of the time?
Probably most of the time they're being assholes. The Foo Fighters one's really funny, actually.
What is Foo Fighters?
If you go on to... it's like smokinggun.com actually has a bunch of tour riders. And the Foo Fighters one is like, there's a bunch of like jokes in it. And like fake stuff that they ask for. And it's actually like pretty funny.
Oh, so it's not like they want this stuff seriously.
They ask for like, they're like, get us some bottled water and some like sandwiches or something. And then they have a bunch of like joke shit in it too. It's just there to be amusing. It's pretty funny.
Did you see Ludacris's one? The one that, like, I guess it was a big deal with University of Georgia?
No.
He had, like, 8 packs of condoms.
Eight
packs of Magnum. This is for a university performance, too. This is University of Georgia you performed at.
Yeah.
So, 8 packs of Magnum condoms. It was, like, 4 bottles of, like, Cristal. Like,
I'm surprised it was only 4.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He was lenient on it.
He's asking for 8 packs
of condoms. Yeah, no, but he has, like, 3 bottles of Crown Royal.
like 3 bottles of Conjure, which is his liquor.
He's trying to push sales.
Yeah, which is his liquor. Conjure is his cognac.
Yeah.
So he asked for all that. The 8 packs of condoms is hilarious, though. Considering he's married, too, which just makes it even funnier.
Yeah. he's just trying to help the roadies.
Yeah, you know what? That's what I was wondering, though, too. It's like, I got 20 dudes that's on the road with me.
Yeah,
you know,
he's got a staff he's trying to help.
Yeah, like, I think it was like a ray of shrimp from Red Lobster.
I mean, he probably actually the Red Lobster. He probably had like a endorsement deal with them.
Yeah, you know what? He's probably looking up everybody's got an endorsement deal with.
Yeah, low level Red Lobster endorsement deal. Where he gets paid, or they give him free food if he's like seen eating there or something like that.
Yeah, or if he gets orders that come in, like, yes, the ludicrous order. Like, oh yeah, I get that 1% on that order, yeah, and it goes back to my coffers.
Get that kickback on that.
But was Red Lobster a big deal? You was a kid.
No, I've actually never been.
You've never been to Red Lobster?
I've never been to a Red Lobster.
Wow.
The one I want to go to, speaking of Red Lobster musicians, in Cincinnati, Bootsy Collins is from Cincinnati.
Right, yeah. All the Parliament is.
There's a Red Lobster that Bootsy apparently goes to with his wife, like, every week.
And you could just catch Bootsy in there.
Yeah, where's all his shit, too?
Oh, so he comes as Bootsy Collins.
Yeah, he's like...
He comes as, like, Darnell Collins.
Yeah, Bootsy is... Oh, shit, what's his real name? I can't remember his first name. But, like, yeah, I mean, he's, like, Bootsy is, like, dressed up. Like, he's got the hat and the sunglasses with the stars in them and, like, everything.
The boots, oh, nice.
Yeah, apparently he's super nice to everybody, always leaves a huge, like, a huge-ass tip. He and his wife are, like, everyone's favorite customers, but he goes into, like, fucking Red Lobster, like, every week on a Thursday night or something and just, like, lights the place up, which is awesome because I love Bootsy Collins.
Oh, no, Bootsy.
So, yeah, man. Like, I would, if I saw Bootsy Collins in a Red Lobster, I think I could die a happy man.
Well, man, let's go and get into the show notes, man. So let's start up. I guess you've been gone from last week, so what have been your thoughts, I guess, so far overall?
Yeah. Last week, I didn't love. I read about it after the fact, and I guess that it was last week and this week were written by the same guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me kind of want to go back and watch it maybe as like a two-parter, almost like kind of a mini-movie.
Oh, and like and watch it straight through?
Yeah, to see kind of how they flow together. Because, I don't think they do like two-part episodes really. You know, it's not like a part one, part two.
They have so many. They have so many. Yeah, that's old ABC ABC TV. Like,
yeah,
next part on the special edition of Different Strokes.
Yeah, next week, find out if our main character that gets paid $20 million a year actually manages to live through
it. Right, exactly. That's exactly what happens to it. And they show like Gary Coleman like in the alley with some guy with a gun on him, like, Mr. Drummond.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Gary's gonna live.
Yeah, exactly. I'm pretty sure it is.
But you know, it was okay. It was a very transitional episode. I think I might like it better in retrospect because I loved this episode.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this was a lot of fun. Aside from aside from the Hound, which I actually and my wife can attest to this, I actually like pumped my fist and yelled, yeah,
yes!
As soon as they showed him, because...
And that was interesting, because they did that in the pre-montage before the credits.
Yeah.
So it was like, I was like, well, at first, because I DVR'd it or whatever, because I went to with the family, so I thought I was tripping, like, on a DVR, and I was like, why, what happened to the credits? Like,
yeah, you thought you missed a scene.
Yeah, I was like, or something happened, though, and I'm like, oh, shit. Like,
yeah, it was kind of a shock, cold open kind of thing, which they don't normally do. You know, it's always like a Law and Order episode where suddenly somebody's standing over the body with a gun in
and
her
then
hand.
They go, doom, 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 doom.
Yeah, but like the pivot, and it's the Hound, who is one of my very favorite characters. I know I was talking about it a couple weeks ago after Hodor died, but I tend to be emotionally attached to the characters based on how entertaining they are.
Yeah.
I was really upset when the Hound apparently died because he's really a good character.
Yeah.
He's funny. He's got a lot of like narrative drive to him. So I liked them bringing him back. I liked the way that he got brought back.
Mm-hmm.
Ian McShane,
played the pastor
preacher.
Guy.
Yeah.
They said he was only on one episode too, though, and I was like, wow, I see why.
Yeah, he's a killer actor, and it was fun. I don't know if this was intentional or not, but it was kind of an homage George R. R. Martin, aside from this, writes a lot of stuff. And he writes a lot of short stories.
Yeah.
And the Ian McShane story and the story of the Hound coming back was almost like this one-episode mini short story.
Within the bigger Game of Thrones kind of thing.
Yeah, where it was totally self-contained. You know, it's like, we're used to, like, Game of Thrones is not a self-contained show. It's not like a procedural where somebody gets murdered at the beginning and you find out at the end who did it.
Who did it.
And it's so much a part of a bigger story. So we got, for once, and there's maybe been another episode or two where this happened, but I can't think of any off the top of my head, where you got a complete story in one episode. Where, it, you know, you meet these characters, you reintroduce the Hound, kind of as like the, I think he's going to be like the avenging hero kind of thing. He's like the, you know, he's like the Han Solo, like the bad boy
that finally gets
brought around to it, you know. But I thought that was really, that was fun, and it was a kind of a neat way to do it. It was funny, too, because I laughed at the beginning, because they're clearly all very happy, and it's this kind of idyllic thing, and you're pretty sure they're all going to die.
Yeah, in horrible ways. He was like, I thought the Hound was going to get into him, or something crazy, or they were setting him up, or something, like, something wasn't going to go right. You just knew it was just too perfect, everybody, and he was like, what the fuck are they building, a tower?
Yeah, it looked like maybe a
windmill, or
It probably was a windmill, actually. Yeah. It was probably a windmill, or maybe like the homestead, or like the main building, and they're gonna try to establish a town there or something. Okay. But yeah, now that you mention it, probably it did look like it was maybe a windmill base or something.
And just store food in the bottom of the windmill.
Yeah. My question to you though is like, so where's the Hound headed? Because I mean, they brought him back. Is it gonna be the Clegane Bowl that everyone's theorizing?
It's got to. I guess at this point, it's more. I mean, I guess Game of Thrones. Sometimes I guess they have certain themes. I guess that they know that we know is gonna play out. It's kind of like, all right, these things, but we may tinker some things here and there on that drive. The Clegane Bowl is gonna have to happen.
Yeah.
It just seemed like it's just bound to happen. I don't know how it's gonna happen. But I think with the Hound though. They keep on saying Lady Stoneheart. They keep on saying no Lady Stoneheart. But it's looked like they trying to set it up for Lady Stoneheart.
They're moving all the chess pieces in that direction.
Yeah,
they really are. They keep alluding to the Brotherhood Without Banners.
By the way,
is such a cool name.
Yeah, but my thing is the Brotherhood Without Banners. They were fucked up, but I didn't think they were that fucked up to just kill random people. I thought they only killed people that were associated with the phrase.
They're setting them up. They're much more villains. Much more villainous.
Yeah, because in the books, they were just like, anybody associated, if you went out to eat with a Frey, you could die. They was just like, if you associated with the phrase in any way when Lady Stoneheart came along, that's why they died. It wasn't
It's almost noble. In the books, they're kind of depicted as like Robin Hood.
Exactly. This is just like some dudes like, oh, we don't like y'all doing this windmill. I'm going to kill all y'all.
And yeah. Just like murdering clearly innocent people.
Yeah.
And you don't really, you haven't really seen their side yet. And maybe we won't. Maybe they'll just
or maybe they're lying about, or, oh no, I was thinking were they lying about who they were, but the Hound said he saw their insignias and stuff. It's like, see, yeah, that's the Brotherhood with no banners. Or the Brotherhood. He just called them the Brotherhood.
Yeah. They're maybe setting him up in a,
I don't know where he's going to go.
In a darker direction.
Maybe he's flowing out there and I guess he's going to try to find them. But it's like, they're so deep, though. It's like, maybe unless he's going to try to catch up with them and try to get those three. Or, I'm not sure how they're going to try to kind of do that.
Yeah, if I was doing like the Game of Thrones Deadpool, my money would be on those three guys next week.
Yeah.
The episode might open with the Hound holding that axe.
And then those guys below him.
Yeah, and like maybe holding a head too, or just finishing
the only thing
one
I don't
off.
Like a little bit, is, I mean, and it's impossible to do, is that he's super big though too, like... I mean, he's a big guy on the show comparatively, but I would just want him to be just, like, the mountain is what's supposed to be, like, 8 feet or something, is it crazy? Like,
yeah,
something like that.
The mountain's...
And he's shorter than his brother, giant. Like, he's, like, 7 foot, but on the show, of course, they gotta be more the scale of real human beings.
Yeah.
You know, especially during the medieval times when I'm sure wasn't that many 8 foot, 7 foot people walking around like that.
Yeah, no, there were none.
Yeah.
Blackbeard was famously big, and he was, like, 6 feet tall.
Really?
And that was only 200 some years ago.
So he was only, and people thought he were tall. He was tall. They said he was big and tall, and he's only 6 foot.
I think he was 6 foot. He might have been taller than that.
Right, but
at the time, like the average, like when medieval knights were running around, the average person was like 5'1".
Really?
So, yeah. So I never realized. If you're 6 feet tall, you were humongous.
Yeah. I mean, I knew that, especially when they talk about, like, Goliath and things like that. Like yeah, he was on, like, 6'3" or some shit. Like, he's as big as everybody else. But what about Arya, man? Last week on last week's show, I said, I think this is Arya's test somehow to be in the, be an assassin.
Oh.
Like, leaving and, like, doing it. Because, and I, the thing that was interesting to me was, like, it seemed, the male mini fake, that mission for her seemed like it was a bogus mission, though. Like, it was, like, I feel like they do moralistically killings. Like, if you hire us, it's gotta, we gotta know what's going on. If the person deserves to die, we'll do it. This person just wanted her dead because she had her, she had a spot she wanted.
Yeah, that's, you know, that is a good point. There's, like, it's some, like,
it made them almost mercenary, like we just kill whoever pay us.
Yeah, not and it like, seemed like not it was, like honor among thieves, but like honor among assassins.
Kind yeah. of.
Yeah, and it's it maybe you know that's a good point.
And I wonder if it's a test for old girl too, though. Like almost a test for her, like almost setting her up to be killed, though.
Mm-hmm.
Do they have a deeper theory? Did you hear about the theory that what's the guy that trained Arya?
Cereal?
Some people are trying to say that he is Dario. Not Dario, that he's Jacqueline.
Oh.
That he was a mini-faced person, though, then, and he like, realized how good she was. And got himself arrested on purpose. Because, remember, we talked about that before, though. How would he, if he's a mini-faced person, why would he let himself get arrested? Like, how would he get arrested?
Yeah, he was clearly in that pen that she met him in.
On purpose.
Because he wanted to be.
Yeah.
And that would be such a George R. R. Martin Hodder kind of thing to do, that this was set up from book one.
Yeah, that
the
he
very start that, of this.
That he met her when he was being this person out there, and they would say Ned Stark is the one that has kind of got the balls rolling on that.
Yeah,
because he saw that she was like his sister, and they said they didn't embrace her Lyanna's ability to fight. And he wanted to do it with Arya, though.
Yeah, and recognized her talent.
Yeah, because they didn't, cause, you know, they would push Lyanna, like, it'd be like a girl that plays basketball. You're like, don't keep playing basketball. You need to go get this dress on, you know, and hang out.
Yeah.
And Lyanna, they would like, and then it was too late then. Lyanna was already in the game riding horses and fucking people up, you know. And then it was too late, but he's probably like, well, damn, my daughter is just like her. They say she looks like her. Everything, maybe I need to
Maybe I'll let her play point guard.
Yeah, maybe I'll let her play point guard, yeah.
That's an interesting theory. I like that. I think that'd be really fun.
Yeah.
Or
this is her test for. Or I was even thinking about what if he shows up and kills her though, because it seems like he don't fuck with her like that. Like it seems like.
You mean
Jacqueline doesn't mess with the waif.
Yeah.
It seems like he's kind of like indifferent towards her. Like, and then like he's testing her because. Remember, he said to her, don't make her suffer.
Mm-hmm.
And she directly stabs her in the stomach. That's suffering if you bleed out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like one of the worst.
Yeah, you stab and then
I've
you
never
bleed
stabbed,
out. Yeah, but
I understand that's one of the worst.
Yeah, and you bleeding out and you walking through like a meadow and she's bleeding out right now. Yeah. Like, that's not.
Yeah, the whole thing with the waif kind of bothers me because he keeps getting on Arya for not being no one. And for having her personal vendettas and stuff. And the waif clearly hates Arya.
Has a vendetta.
Yeah, like, clearly has a
vendetta.
And
what I wonder
vendetta.
Is it one of those things of, like, maybe he talked Arya up. Like, before, like, this girl, she's destined, she's blah, blah. You know, somebody hypes somebody up, and the other person wants to be, like, the person hyped up, or like, well, shit, I've been here this whole time, man. Like,
yeah.
And then they show like up, and you're like, it ain't shit, man.
Yeah, like a jealousy.
Yeah. And he was like, you get a chance to kill them. Oh, yes. Let me do it. You said I could kill her, right?
Yeah.
Let me kill her.
Yeah, let me do that.
Yeah.
The thing that bothered me about that, though, was like, and I understand where, I like where it's maybe going.
Mm-hmm.
I like your theory. But even if it's not as interesting as that, and it's just Arya breaking out on her own, I like where that's headed. I like it. It's finally headed somewhere.
Yeah, because it was moving nowhere for two seasons.
Yeah, it sat for a while.
Yeah.
But what I didn't like about it was Arya should have known that was her.
Because, you know, the same face was in, you know, when somebody took some stills, I saw online, it's the same face she was looking at 3 or 4 episodes ago.
Was it?
It's the same exact face.
Okay, that's clever that they did that.
But yeah.
I mean, you know, she knows they can steal faces. Right. She knows they're assassins.
And she's already trying to get out of there fast. You already paid extra money for this guy to meet you at dawn to get out of here.
Yeah.
So I'm almost.
Right. I don't talk to anybody.
Look, I almost might go sit the dock with my legs just hanging over the dock and just stand towards the rest of Bravos and my back towards the river.
Yeah.
The river and just sit there.
I'm getting on that ship tonight.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna sit there awake with my sword.
Yeah. I'm sitting there with needle on my right there the whole time, yeah. And I'm standing with my back towards the river.
Yeah,
yeah. So no, I'm seeing everything coming my way.
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of thought, really, Arya. I mean, you know they steal faces.
It'd be
you know
anybody.
They're probably going to come after you, and she just turns toward this old woman like, oh. You know, I'm sure you're just going to have a nice conversation with me about something.
On this random bridge, nobody else is on there.
I didn't buy that. I would have liked it better if, you know, if somebody snuck up on her.
And just,
you know, if she'd been going through a crowd and all of a sudden it had happened.
Or if it was the guy that was the ship guy or something like that, where it'd be like,
yeah.
The guy you talked to with the ship guy or something like that.
Yeah, like they baited something for her. But just to have her happen, I thought, I don't know, I think they're
kind of a little cheesy.
Yeah, there were more creative ways they could have dealt with that. It gets us where we need to go, so that's fine, but I think they could have done maybe a little bit, something a little bit more interesting, or at least more convincing.
So what do you think Arya's going with this? I mean, she's already stabbed, like two or three times in the stomach?
Yeah, you know, and everyone used to die on this show, but now they just come back.
Yeah,
so she's literally not going to die.
Definitely ain't going to die. You know, they're not going to die. Like, you know, the people would be like, you thought it was bad when Robb Stark died.
She's gonna run into somebody that helps her.
I was wondering, what if it's Gendry?
Could be Gendry.
Gendry should be the heir to Dragonstone right now.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the.
He's the only
surviving heir.
Yeah.
Gendry, yeah, Dragonstone rightfully belongs to him.
Yeah.
It very well could
but
be
the king, but wouldn't so Tom, but right now Tommen can actually probably until Gendry shows up.
I think
Tommen
yeah,
can
think
designate
king,
a like a ward for that area. Like I guess he'd be like, oh, nobody's there.
Yeah. I think the king can pick.
Yeah.
And given the fact that they're all well, except his quote unquote dad was the rightful king, so he wouldn't strip it from the line necessarily the way that you might have.
So maybe it's an uncle or something, somebody random.
Yeah, there's somebody maybe sitting there. It could be Gendry. I could see it being I'm blanking on his name.
The guy that the
friend zoned with the
the dude with the bread maker
with the grayscale.
Oh, Jorah Mormont.
I think Mormont, because he could be in, you know, he could be in Braavos
trying to find a cure.
Yeah, or trying to get some word. And I would think that he would probably recognize her. I don't know that he's ever seen her, but he would recognize her as Westerosi.
Right, he would know that. He would know that she's Westerosi.
He knows she's Westerosi, and he'd maybe recognize her as a Stark.
That's a good one, man.
Yeah.
Which would
be kind of fun, because they keep pairing Arya with older guys, and it's always entertaining. Like, when she was with the Hound, I could have watched a season where...
Just
the
Hound and
Arya
her just walking around through the valleys
yeah,
and going on different escapades.
Yeah, it was like a buddy cop movie.
Yeah, it was a buddy cop movie.
So that was fun, and I could see them going to that again, because I don't know if it's the character or if it's the actress, but she tends to pair well with, like, the older authority figure... In an entertaining and kind of a fun way.
Yeah, that's real.
Gendry would make a lot of sense. It would make
George R. Martin said that they're supposed to meet back up.
Are they?
He's in the books, he said. So
okay.
because I would like to see Gendry be over like Jack Dragonstone or something. That'd be kind of cool to see his life go totally 360 like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it'd be like, well, yeah, you know, I'm gonna head to Dragonstone now. You know, and even then there was another theory that I actually thought of was. Do you, like, and I might even talk about this before, though. Do you think that the Men with Many Faces are actually, like, a tool of the bank?
Oh. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I guess they really aren't. I guess they couldn't, because I would be like, because what King's Landing owes them a lot of money right now. Why didn't they send nobody there to handle business right now? Because they owe them money still. That was the reason that Stannis got an army, because they owe them money.
I don't know. That maybe makes them too powerful. The thing that's weird about the
Iron Bank,
the Iron Bank, yeah, the Iron Bank and the Men of Many Faces, and it's maybe just not going to be answered because there's kind of another narrative going on. But it seems like both of those groups should be, I mean, they should be running the show, and both of them are kind of just sort of percolating in the background. But like, these are really, I mean, you've got a league of essentially immortal assassins that can look like anyone they want, and a bank that owns basically everyone.
Yeah.
And it seems like the...
It's like a payday loan. They're like a payday loan. Like, you see, like, you can't pay this back.
Yeah, and they're not just a payday. They're the only payday loan. For, like, for nations.
And everybody thinks that they're going to be able to pay them back. Like, I'll be able to get it. I need two more checks.
It's fine.
Two more checks.
It's absolutely fine. Y'all, I'll get that to you Thursday. But it seems like they should be driving the bus. And they're maybe content not to because they're figuring, well, we're making money, so who cares?
Why are we gonna say anything? Why are we gonna rock the boat?
Yeah, and maybe the Men of Many Faces aren't as powerful as they appear to be. You know, because we only see one.
Yeah,
and he could in theory be a different one every time, like the Jacqueline she came across in the. We have no way.
Or of knowing. I was thinking about it. What if there is only two?
Yeah.
Like, what if it's almost like a Jedi situation where there can only be two?
Yeah.
Or something. And this whole time, and she thinks it's a whole bunch of people, and it's only two people.
Yeah. And that would make a lot of sense. And that would make sense.
Because you've never seen the other one, though. You've never seen any other ones.
Yeah. Yeah, you never even see, like, somebody moving around.
Yeah, you don't see nobody even walking through, like, coming to pray or, you know, anything. Visiting the temple is just Jacqueline and the waif. That's it.
Yeah. And, maybe a master and apprentice kind of a situation.
Yeah.
Which would be interesting.
All right, next question for you. What do you think about everything going on with John, Sansa, and Davos?
Well, Littlefinger is going to get to make his play, which is interesting.
But do you think Littlefinger, when he... Now I'm going back, retry, even though the Blackfish thing was true, I think he knew the Blackfish wouldn't leave the castle, so it was null and void anyway. Like, it was like me giving you information, like saying, like, yeah, Tyler's at, like, it'd be like, Tyler's got $100,000, but he's at Hooters, you know, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not trying to leave no time soon to bring me that $100,000. Yeah. You know, like, but I was writing information that you are at Hooters, and you do have $100,000, but you're not leaving Hooters.
Yeah, but I'm not, like, headed your way.
Yeah, or I'm not going, even if you probably request me, I'm still not going to leave.
Yeah.
Because remember he said, we staying in here, in this castle.
Yeah.
I'm wanting to die in here, we ain't coming out.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, I don't know, it's interesting. He keeps, I mean...
Blackfish is cool as hell, too, for the record. Like, I know we'll get to him in a second, but he's cool as hell, man.
Yeah, that was... we can cut to that. That was a great scene. I loved how on him, they were obviously bluffing.
Oh, yeah, he was like, kill him.
Yeah. Fine, kill him. Do what you want. I read...
He probably thought his nephew's a bitch anyway, though. I was thinking about that, too. Like,
he is not impressive.
Yeah.
I read in the... I think it was on The Onion that they said Game of Thrones had its Monty Python moment. Because Blackfish basically pulled, like, when it's John Cleese up on the rampart and he's like, I fart in your general direction. That was basically what the Blackfish did. He's like... Fuck all y'all.
Yeah.
Kill him if you want to.
We got food here. We said for 2 years. Yeah. He said we got food for 2 years.
Yeah, I'm chilling. I've got 2 years. How long do you have? Which I thought was such a great line.
Because it is, though, because he doesn't have 2 years. He's probably got 2 weeks.
Yeah.
To wrap this up.
Yeah. Yeah. Jamie needs that done.
Yeah.
Jamie needs that.
Because he wants
done.
To get back right. to what did he, can he go back to King's Landing? Or is he going to go to Castle Rock?
That's a good question. Either way, he doesn't
want
to be tied.
Yeah, he doesn't want. He don't want to be there at that castle anyway, and probably in general.
Yeah, I mean, he wants to be back at King's Landing. I don't know if they'd permit him. I could see he could potentially just be rash. You know, he might decide to just go for it. He might see an opening
and just go back to King's Landing.
Like he might see a flaw in their defenses, and I can draw this out, or this is my opportunity. I mean, the kind of the word on Jamie always seems to have been that, like, when he sees his advantage,
he takes it.
Yeah. You know, the Mad King, he was there alone with him, had his shot, and took it.
Yeah.
And so I could see him going that route again. I kind of hope he doesn't. I enjoy Jamie and Bron. They're entertaining. Yeah, you know, that was fun. I was happy Bron came back this week, too.
Yeah, because like, I was thinking, no, it's literally like when they show the Lannister army going down the thing, I'm like, what the fuck happened to Bron? Like, literally, and then I'm like, damn, there he goes. Like, I literally thought about that when I, because you could see it was Jamie from far away.
Yeah.
But you couldn't tell it was Bron riding with him.
Yeah, because he was just kind of wearing whatever else had on, just normal armor.
Yeah, and I was like, oh shit, it's Bron. Damn, okay, good to see you back.
Yeah, they got overshadowed a little bit by the Hound.
Yeah.
I liked...
still getting promised stuff. He's like, dude, I still ain't got my woman. Still ain't got my castle. I still ain't got my money. He's like, the Lannisters... He's like, don't say it. Don't say the Lannisters
pay
their own debts.
Yeah, don't do that. He's like, don't fucking say it.
Yeah, don't fucking say that. That damn phrase.
Yeah, your catchphrase. Yeah. It's like, you know, the dwarf told me that, and you know, I didn't get shit time either.
Well, the dwarf did hook him up.
Yeah, I mean, he's knighted.
Yeah.
You know, he's knighted now. So he's moved his way up. I was happy he came back again. He's one of the most entertaining characters on the show. He's funny.
Yeah.
he's good in a fight. He's useful. He's useful from a narrative standpoint. You can have Bron do a lot of things.
Bron is actually like us. Like, I think Bron is like representative of like what a regular person would be saying or doing in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Like, he's the regular, the viewer. He's the viewer like, dude, don't say that doggone.
Yeah, don't.
Because you get tired. Because we get tired of hearing them say that.
Yeah,
the Lannisters paid their. No. Don't say it.
Yeah, he's like the voice of the audience.
Yes, exactly. He's like the regular guy that being would hang it with them.
At some point, there will probably be a dragon flyover, and Bron's gonna look up at it and go, "You gotta be fucking kidding me!"
Or he'd be like, "I'm fucking out of here." Like, or "I'm out of here. Peace."
Done. I did like that he was talking
about, fucking castle. Keep your woman. I'm out of here.
Yeah. I did like how he was talking about, like, getting promised a beautiful highborn woman, which I thought was kind of a funny allusion to the Sand Snakes.
Yeah.
The one seems really into him for whatever reason.
Well, is this some weird, like, sadomasochist type of like, relationship thing they had going on?
Yeah, and he's clearly attracted to her. And I guess she's got a things for, like, dudes.
Well, she's one of the ones. But see, that's another thing goes back. Well, I think they dropped the ball a little bit with Dorne. Maybe Dorne has something else that's going
on. They've totally disappeared.
Because those two girls were on a boat to King's Landing.
Yeah.
Unless if they don't pop up the rest of the season and they end up back in. I'm going to call foul on that shit, man.
That's true, yeah. It's a gaping plot hole at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be a last season they show up and slaughter. I mean, you know, it could be like
King's Landing, they'd be hanging out.
It could be at the end of the season, Marjorie and Tommen buy it, which I could see happening.
See, I had a theory with I think Marjorie, because Matt last week was saying that Tommen's going to get himself killed. And I was like, Marjorie might be sending it off for her to be Queen Regent.
Mm-hmm.
Like a Queen Elizabeth, like, where it was like, we don't have any heirs, we don't have anything, but the Queen is the Queen still. You know, y'all didn't have any kids. Or maybe she's pregnant, and that kid is a... She's still pregnant, so she's
basically the
queen till he's 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, she gets to be the queen, and it would piss Cersei off.
Yeah. Which seems to be kind of her role. Speaking of which, the... what's her name? The Lady Olenna?
The grandmother.
The older? Yeah, the grandmother.
It's all set up now, though.
I loved her scene with Cersei.
She's like, nobody likes you.
Yeah. she just cut her. What'd you say? You might be the worst person I've ever met.
Yeah. Like, dude, like, I don't even know if I've even said it to anybody in my person. Like even in my mind, even said it to somebody. Even if you think that, to say that to somebody is like, and she said it so matter-of-factly, like, she's still writing up her, you know, I guess she's signing documents and stuff. It's still like, you are the worst person I've ever met in my life. And went back to, like, doing what she was doing. Like, you don't know.
Which was great. It was such a real insult. You're so, you know, it's
a fantasy. The Lannister army's not there. Lannisters are gone with Jaime.
Yeah, it's a fantasy novel. You're so used to people saying, having these, like, highfalutin ways to insult each other. And she just looks at her, you are, like, the worst person I have ever met in my life. And she is...
And nobody likes you.
She's absolutely right. Cersei is terrible.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing redeeming about her.
Like, not one thing. She's never done one thing nice.
No, she loves her creepy, incestuous kids. That's the only thing that she's got going for her, which is kind of gross.
Yeah.
And she's just awful.
And the thing is weird that I don't even think she even loves Tommen for real. She loves Tommen because he's the default kid left.
Yeah, he's the one left.
Yeah, because she loved the Shadow Dropper. She loved the daughter. Tommen always was kind of getting shitted on beforehand. Even in the books, though, like, well, he would just be playing with ukulele and shit, eating food and shit. And, like,
over Tommen!
In the books, he was on some, like, real kiddie shit, though, over in the corner, like, get the fuck out of here type thing.
In the books, Tommen always seems a little slow.
He does, exactly.
A little slow on the
like, uptake. Eating some blue, like, what's the old nursery rhyme with the blueberry pie, like the kid with the thumb and the blueberry pie.
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh, man. Oh, what is the name of it? It's like something like it's like one of those Mother Goose things, like the kid with the blueberry pie, his thumb stuck in the blueberry. That's how I envisioned him when I would read it, like a like kid with like the dumbass 8-year-old kid that keeps putting his thumb in the blueberry pie, like, you know.
Yeah. Like, Tommen, he's like the guy in your group of friends that is really nice and Servin's okay with having him around, but, like, is always just, like, saying stupid shit.
And you're annoyed of him to a certain extent, too, though, but you can't really dislike him, because, like, he don't do shit to nobody, but he's annoying as shit.
Yeah, he's not mean, he's, like, super nice to everybody.
Annoying as shit, though.
But at the same time, he'll, like, ask a question, and you're like, dude, really? Like, why are you asking me this? Do you really have to ask me this question?
Like you'd be, like back in the days when guys were single, and you're hanging with a girl and everything, and you're like really talking to him, like, hey man, I just wonder if you can go drop me off now. What? Really? Right now? Like, you need me to drop you off, like, right now? Like, yeah, man, I got a Warcraft game going on at 2 in the morning with, like, some other people online. Like, what?
Yeah, just not understanding the social cues.
Yeah, not at all. But that's book him, but yeah, TV him is different.
Yeah, a little bit, but he's clearly still really easily manipulated. I mean, Marjorie, you know, and they're not. I think the books do a better job of communicating time.
Yeah,
you know, it's a little bit hard to tell, but as far as I can tell, Marjorie talked to him for about a half an hour, and was like, "Hey, if you ever want to sex this again, we've got to join this religion."
That's cool.
Jumped on board.
Cool.
Which, I mean, he's like what, 13? So
on the show, you think he's probably 15? 15. I say 15.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, he's a teenager.
Because I think Joffrey was like 20, 21.
Yeah.
Because she's like 25 or something though. She's,
yeah.
It feels like she's like mid-20s or something.
Yeah. She's
because she was way older than Joffrey too.
She was older than Joffrey. She's probably almost a decade older than Tom.
Yeah. That's what it feels like. That like more like. And
like she's a woman. He's clearly a boy.
Yeah,
he's clearly still a boy.
Yeah, and the only thing this and it goes back. Does he have mother issues with Cersei because she kind of shitted on him for most of his life, catering to Joffrey, catering to the other daughter?
Probably, and I think he's really trying to show
that he deserves to be the king,
that he can be in charge. Which is funny because he's now dancing to his wife's song, not his mom's song.
Yeah. Or dancing to your own song, period, because you're the fucking king of seven kingdoms.
Yeah, I mean, he can have anyone executed if
at
he wants to. I mean, there's going to be some fallout, potentially.
Yeah.
But, like, if he's willing to put up with the people being like, well, Tom and I think that was a poor choice. And contrast him with going back to... And I'm blanking on his name again with the grayscale.
Oh, Jorah
Mormont.
Mormont, the daughter Mormont, who's clearly like 10 and so in charge.
Like seriously, like new, like had her general right here, her maester to the left.
Yeah,
like
and she was totally in control of the situation.
So what relation is her to Jorah?
Is that
her uncle?
I think he's her uncle.
Because the other one is the other uncle. And he said your uncle was the one from the from Night's Watch.
Yeah.
That got killed. That was the one that he had to kill and act like he was fighting against the wildlings, right? Is that the one he killed, right?
Yeah, the other...
Lord Commander.
The previous Lord Commander.
Yeah.
Who was a Mormon.
And that one was Jorah's brother. So Jorah is her uncle.
So the woman
that was killed was their sister. Her mother that got killed was her sister. Their sister.
I think that's what it was.
What's even more crazy to think about that Jordan? Because wasn't Jorah married though? And didn't Jorah was married and had kids when he got caught being a slave trader?
Yeah,
and got kicked
I guess,
out.
That could be Jorah's daughter.
That'll be no. But he said his Well, I guess.
But no, they said. No, they said. She said her mother. Mom was named after Lyanna Stark.
Stark, yeah.
So her mom was probably born a Mormon because they were allied with them. Exactly. So it was probably a sister that died. But the daughter, you know, and it's kind of like the subtextual theme of the maybe not the show as a whole, but of the season, like the women are clearly in charge here.
Yeah, yeah.
Yara's in charge. Marjorie is in charge. Cersei's kind of fighting Marjorie for it.
Sand snakes are
in charge. Dany is in charge.
Sansa's trying, looking like she's taking charge.
Yeah,
because she's the one to get the veil and get involved.
Yeah, Sansa's angling for it. I don't know if it, she's clearly in charge in the same way, but she's clearly the one that's like pushing. I mean, she pushed Jon into what? Because
Jon was like, "I'm gonna just roll out and just live a life and just be happy. Yeah. I'm still alive."
Jon wanted to go hide somewhere, and given the fact that he died already, I don't really blame him.
little fear of death. Yeah, for a real reason.
Yeah, absolutely. But I liked that it went kind of back to that, and they keep introducing new characters that are interesting. I mean, you know, this is just a little kid, but she was so authoritative. She'd clearly been raised for that since birth. I mean,
yeah, most definitely
to have that role. You know, a lot of credit to the actress. She conveyed that great. When she raised her hand to the maester,
like,
it was
like, "Don't just, talk. Like, I got
you.
This.
Shut up. This is my call."
Yeah,
was really great. I liked that a lot. It was
and
it was
the fact
fun.
That the effect that she's younger than Tommen and making better decisions, or at least more authoritative decisions than Tommen is.
Yeah, she made a clear leadership choice. She let everyone know that it was her call. You know, she took every step to make sure that everyone was aware that she was the one in charge, and she was the one making the decision. And then she offered limited support that probably...
You think that wasn't their whole army, right? I'm assuming, right?
I'm sure they, you know...
She said that we were small. Like, that's when I was like, 62? I was like, that don't even seem right, even a number four.
Yeah.
I thought the Mormont's a pretty decent-sized house.
And they showed the exterior of that.
Yeah.
Basically what they're holding, and you know, it's probably like it's maybe half their fighting force or a third of their fighting force or something like that. And you know, it's probably they have to keep a certain number in reserve,
right? To protect them.
Yeah, and I think from the limited amount that I know about castles and how things worked back in the real world at that time, a lot of those you could defend with a surprisingly small number of people.
Because of the way it's set up.
Yeah, just because of how it was laid out. And actually, like the Swiss in World War II, mm-hmm. there were passes into Switzerland that you could have a single sniper that could hold off a battalion. Because the pass below, this is why the Erie works in this show. I think the Erie is kind of the analogy for this. The Erie, all of those guys are running up that hill, and the pathway along those mountains is so narrow that you can only have one guy...
At a time. It's all funneled in.
And if you have enough archers up above, that they only have to shoot one guy at a time. And they can sit there for 8 hours and shoot guy after guy after guy.
As long as somebody's refilling them up, they're good. Yeah,
and you can have a million people sitting at the bottom of the hill, but they can still only come through one at a time. You know, so a lot of those, I don't think they need a ton of guys, but she probably offered them, you know, enough that it was real support, but... Not everything.
Or maybe she hears that there was happening and sends more. You know, like, oh wow, they're, you know, we got word. You know, I sent more. It'd be crazy. She comes out there too, like riding a horse. Like I brought more troops.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I'm not going out there, but I brought the troops myself. You know, we lied. We had 300 troops. We're gonna pledge to you.
And you know they need to win a battle. Jon needs to win a battle.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. He does.
And I think he definitely can. He definitely went outmanned. He learned a lot from the wildlings. Yeah. They're good fighters.
Yep.
It's going to be good to see him go up against Ramsay.
You think him with the Parkers, though. What do you think about like them, their allegiance situation with the Parkers, where they kind of basically got dissed?
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't show how... And interesting, this is one thing that keeps happening to the Starks. Is their overabundance to... Not loyalty, but to nobility, or like
honor.
Honor hurt them more than help them, because that's what it seemed like with the Parkers, even though, like, we followed Rob, he goes out and marries some outsider chick and fucks up everything.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely a handicap. You know, and it's kind of their Achilles heel, you know. And I think one of the things I like about George R. R. Martin is each major family has kind of its own distinct trait. And the Starks is that honor. Yeah. And he does a good job at showing the way that, you know, honor is a good thing. I don't think anyone's going to argue that honor is like a bad thing.
Right.
But he shows you the way that can turn against you in unexpected ways. And I think that's really interesting. I think that was another example of that you have to realize that honor is important, but also
not everything.
Yeah, it's not, you know, if you're going to lose the battle and everyone's going to die.
Just because you wanted to fall in love and go marry this other woman, just marry the fat Frey. Like, I always figured, like, marry the fat Frey and just don't never have sex with her.
Yeah.
And, like, have the other one and let her know the deal. Like, look here, I'm not even having sex with her. I literally did this before I could pass through the twins. Like, the only reason I did this.
I'm trying to win a war.
Yeah.
And one thing that is interesting is, like, earlier in the season, they showed, you know, the Starks have all this honor and everything, but they also showed when Ned won that legendary battle.
Right, and he lied about it.
It wasn't in an honorable way.
Yeah.
And so it's they're kind of chipping away and showing that the honor is sort of a facade.
Mm.
And that's probably intentional on, you know, on George R. R. Martin's part, and probably on the showrunner's part too. Since they're deconstructing fantasy, they're trying to show that not everything was
how it was.
Yeah, necessarily that honorable thing that sometimes, you know, some dude just get his throat slit from behind. And a lot of times that's, you know, maybe the best thing that can happen, you know? It's like if a guy comes in and starts, like, shooting up the bank, you know, and the security guard shoots him in the back, nobody's going to criticize the security guard for saving their lives. Well, he didn't shoot him in the front, you know? Nobody cares.
But the Starks would be like, hold on, man, I got to go in front of you.
Yeah, I got to make sure that he's got a fair chance to shoot me back.
Even though he's murdering these other people in the bank.
Yeah, even though he's murdering a crowd of innocent people right here. I want to make sure he's got a fair chance.
Yeah, so it seemed like him. You think him having the wildlings, it hurts them, even though they're great fighters. But I'm saying, like, he couldn't get the Parkers. I think they got, what, like, they got three houses so far, they said they had?
Something like that. And they were, like, they all had numbers that were just, like, pitifully small.
Yeah. He got houses of people that just wanted to be involved. Like, just nobody called us before. Shit, we down.
Yeah, I think it is a, you know, it's going to help him and it's going to hurt him. It's definitely going to hurt him. It's going to hurt him recruiting. It's really going to hurt him.
You sound like a football. Like,
yeah, putting together a football team. They got they've got the offensive line that nobody likes and nobody can get along with.
And you
got
to practice against them every day, so nobody wants to come here because of that.
Yeah, and everyone's worried that they're going to be, like, eye gouging and biting teeth and shit during the practice. But, yeah, it's, you know, it's going to be interesting. I just think it's, like, it's kind of Jon Snow's destiny. He's going to lead the Wildling army. That's just
the way it's got to roll.
The way it's going to be. And he's got to kind of overcome the difficulty he's going to have dealing with that. But it's going to be fun to watch. Kind of be interested to see where it happens, you know, where it goes.
Question about last week, man. With Sam, what do you think about the situation with Sam stealing the sword? And
I just have no idea where that's going. I mean,
I'm always confused though, because I thought was that in that town, was that where he was learning to be a maester, or was it like he was dropping her off and going on to where it is?
I think, from what I understand, I think his family is nearby.
He just dropped them off, but it could be raised there and be okay.
I don't know that it's in Old Town. I think that was kind of like a pit stop on the way.
Okay.
That he was looking to just kind of put them someplace safe.
Okay. So they're basically going to go to college with him, basically.
Yeah, although...
Because at first I thought he was going back to the wall. I thought he was like, fuck everything, I'm going back to the wall.
You know, and he might be, I can't tell where he's going with it. I don't know that he's going to go to Old Town, because His dad knew that, and he's
saying, and he's not going to. He's gonna get that. Trying to get that sword back.
Yeah, and the books go all into Sam at Old Town, and we may just be skipping that. My guess is there's some particular piece of information that we're Sam is gonna get in old, like that. The plan would be Sam would get in Old Town. That's gonna be essential for John.
And I gotta get back to get this information.
And I think the show is gonna have Sam find that in a different way to skip that. And then realize, you know, if it's maybe, if it's, I don't know if it's going to be like how to make Valyrian steel or how to, you know, dragon glass or something related to the Night King. But I think that Sam is going to come across something that he has to get back to John. And then
it's like almost like a forceful, like, thing.
It's gonna be something that's gonna just kind of compel him to head that direction. I think is where he's headed, but I could be totally wrong.
Yeah, because it's like, man, like Sam, you took the sword, you rolled out and took the dress, I guess.
And yeah, I mean, he like, you know, he pissed on the bed, and like, you know, just trashed all the food and like poured out all the beer and then flipped him off on the way out the door.
And then he grabbed the sword and gets to fuck it, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I mean they're coming after him. I think his brother is probably gonna be the one that's gonna get sent. And his dad is probably gonna tell the brother to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the brother,
Gilly's gonna come from behind or something like a pot and knock him out.
Yeah. Or the brother may decide that he want, you know, that he believes Sam,
and just give him a pass and be like, I couldn't find him, Dad.
Yeah, or join him. You know, he may come with him too.
Yeah,
but I'm curious as to where that's gonna go, because it seems like one of the things that's the most different from the books right now, as far as where it's headed,
where it's going to end up going. That's interesting. Wow, huh? I never thought about it like that.
Yeah.
So with the Blackfish, man, let's go back to the Blackfish.
Yeah.
He is Caitlyn's brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they owned that tower previously before, in the Freys and the Lannisters took that over, right?
Yeah, that's like their ancestral home. That's like Casterly Rock.
Okay.
I think it's like the
Tullys. That's
Winterfell. Yeah, I think that's like the Tullys. Like that's where the Tullys are.
Okay. Okay. So that's why it means so much to him.
Yeah, and I think He's just not going to give it up. I could see Jamie getting pissed and trying something. Or, you know, we had talked a couple weeks ago about how we were disappointed that Jamie hadn't gone back to the Riverlands yet.
But if he goes back, it's like, man, he's making Jamie so much of a bitch, man.
Yeah, he's just at the behest. He's like at the beck and call. Something's got to happen
where he gets pissed off and like, fuck you, Cersei. I thought we was past it.
Yeah. And, you know, they had a little bit of it, but they kind of skipped over on the show as much of Jaime and Brienne.
Mm.
You know, we kind of mentioned Arya and the Hound, like the buddy cop thing. Like, Jaime and Brienne were another pair that was like that. Like, they were comical.
They were a buddy cop team.
But they were interesing, you know. They paired off well together. And I liked that, and I wanted more of that. And it was just kind of been passing on the show, you know. So it'll be interesting. They could bring them back together. And I think, wasn't there a preview like next week where they're talking? Yeah. The two of them are talking.
Yeah.
So I still hold out hope for that. But, you know.
Yeah. Oh man, it's a lot of moving pieces. It looked like next week's episode was gonna be crazy, like for the previews, like what's going on.
Yeah,
like,
and there's only what, three more? Yeah.
The Mountain killed somebody, it looked like, in the previews too.
Yeah. And there's not a lot of rope left as far as where we're gonna go this season.
Somebody's gonna get down and lay down, as Beanie Siegel said.
Yeah, and I think they're gonna have to try to top John getting fake killed at the end of last season, you know. So there's gonna be something.
Yeah.
There's gonna be something really big. Might be the wall coming down. But the last episode, you know, we've got two more to kind of set up. It's gonna be interesting to see where it heads.
There's so many different places it go, man. But I wonder if that Arya thing is, that's how she becomes a man many faces, by killing her. Or maybe Jacqueline didn't like her and kills her, like, I told you to not, to if you killed her, you need to go ahead and get it done, and you are basically fucking with her right now. Just you know, and just run around and fucking with her.
Yeah, yeah. He make you know.
And you enjoy it. Maybe you're enjoying it too much too, though. Like you just supposed to do your thing and kind of keep it going.
Yeah, it could be a situation that the Wave gets the drop on Arya and Jacqueline comes in and kills saves the Wave.
Yeah.
And saves Arya.
Yep.
So that may, she may not meet up with anyone at all. That might just be where it's headed. But I want it to head somewhere.
Like soon too, man.
Yeah,
like shit.
It just needs to get where it's going. It's the one storyline on the show.
It's just been stuck.
They're just spinning their wheels on it, it seems like. And just is not, it just doesn't seem to be driving anything forward. Everything else is pushed forward. You know, whether or not I like exactly how they do it or anything like that, but everything else is clearly moving forward. And Arya is still like just kind of hanging out.
I'm trying to find Needle.
Yeah, like, just around, hanging trying to out find Needle. And not murdering people.
Yeah, which that's what she should be doing. Yeah. Like getting people. So I'm not sure where that one's going to go, period. Ramsay was in his episode. Daenerys, again, any thoughts on Daenerys? Daenerys was in his episode, but last week you weren't here with the...
Yeah.
With the dragons. Was she? Because Drogon looks big as shit, though, now, man.
Yeah. She's getting back to Meereen soon.
Yeah.
Maybe not next episode, but maybe the episode after... She's getting back to Meereen with the dragons. And... Which will be fun, because I like... her and
Dario.
I'm thinking like just like the mechanics of what's going on with them trying to rule Meereen and sort of take over and having the dickless slave army.
Unsullied.
Yeah, the Unsullied. I like all the political aspects of that, and it's interesting. And I'm clearly they're setting up as to how she's going to get over to Westeros. And Theon and Yara are
taking their ships over there, trying to see if they can help out.
Are headed there too, and I think that's going to be, you know, that might happen before the end of the season, that Theon and Yara
that'd
show
be
up.
Crazy.
I liked the scene with Theon and Yara a lot this week.
Yeah, she was getting to help him try to get his confidence back up.
Yeah, and we saw a little bit, you know, I think he's obviously learned some hard lessons. But Theon is going to, I think, be a little bit more proactive. And I want to see where that's headed. I think that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I thought was kind of funny about that scene is they're in the whorehouse. And there's just like naked women everywhere. And I know the show, it's kind of funny because like the show gets all kinds of criticism for like just kind of having a naked woman in the background while a character explains something. Probably because it's, you know, and for a fact because it's like TNA on TV and they like that.
Yeah.
It's HBO and they can do it. But like the nudity in that scene was actually like thematically important because it meant something to Theon that like it bothered
him that he can't get his dick up.
Yeah, that he can't do that. And so that
because he kept splashing different women that were naked, and he was like,
yeah,
from
and
his
you,
perspective, almost like fuck.
Yeah,
he's looking around,
and like, it was clearly like you were. That was like what they were showing was what Theon was looking at,
and it wasn't his random shots. It was what he was looking at.
Yeah,
right,
100% correct. And it was kind of interesting to see them use that. They've done some kind of funny things with nudity this season. Like, they had the random dude's dick on the screen.
Yeah, just
like
random.
A smash cut to it. Like, all of a sudden, just this dick on a screen. Just as kind of like a punchline, almost.
Yeah, like, this is here.
Yeah, just like a joke. But then they go back and do something like this where, like, yeah, it's just like random nudity. But at the same time, it's really significant to him because he got his fucking dick cut off. And so for her to bring him back in that kind of a situation, I think was interesting because it hopefully shows, because Theon's an interesting character.
Oh yeah.
You know, he's very conflicted. He's like the Hound. He's done some terrible, terrible things, but he's also been through some stuff that's gonna send him in a different direction. And so guys like Theon, the Hound, and that kind of thing, I could see them being like the noble foot soldiers in the final war that maybe die, but if they do, are probably going to sacrifice themselves in some kind of a noble way to win this war.
Boats on fire or something, they're going to ride them into the White Walkers or something like that. Like,
because you can't win a war without people that are willing to die for the cause of it. And so I think they're trying to set up, these are going to be the individuals that are willing to do that. And Theon's probably going to die. And the Hound is probably...
He's got to die, man. He has no penis, man.
You know, you just... Like, you don't have a lot to look forward to.
Save a Stark, man. You owe them.
Yeah.
But he also saved them in a certain extent, too, though, because you got... Well, no, he kind of started it, because if the Starks would have been okay. Do you think they'd have been okay? Do you think that the Boltons would have still took it over if Theon would have never did that coup, or the quote-unquote coup he did?
Yeah, how he let him in. You know, I don't know. Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah.
He definitely murdered two innocent people to let the Starks get away, so I guess he's got that going for him.
That's true, yeah. You know, some village people that were the village kids.
They were the right size, so he killed them. Which, you know, shows how, I think shows on the show, like, sometimes doing the right thing can be an awful thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah, it's going to be interesting. But, yeah, I think, you know, Theon's going to die, whether it's going to be to sacrifice himself for Yara, or to save Dany, or to save a Stark. I mean, hell, he might save Sansa or Jon Snow at some point.
That'd be crazy if he saves Sansa.
Yeah, you know, I don't think he's going to... He's not living out the end of the series. It's not like, you know, what's he going to do? Retire happy to some castle and no dick? Like, come on.
All I'm going to do is just look at pussy. That's all I'm going to do. Just
do anything. Hang around the whorehouse and be the creepy guy in the corner that just stares at the woman.
So then maybe I can get someone else's dick or something. I don't know. I don't even know if they do operations then.
That's what they do have magic.
Yeah.
Varys probably would have, you know, taken him up on
that. Hit up the Red Queen. They're like, hey, I know you get a lot of requests and everything. My dick is gone.
Yeah, she can bring guys back from the dead.
If she can't replace your penis, she got to be able to.
You think she can maybe kill him and bring him back in somebody else's body.
Yeah, that'd be much better. Sorry, what's your thoughts for next week, man? What do you think?
We're going to see the Hound murder some people. We're probably going to open with the Hound and the Axe, which will be really fun. That's going to be very satisfying, I think. We've got to see Dany again. She's too important to go two episodes without her being in it at all. We're going to check in much more outside of Westeros, I think. We're probably, you know, maybe not the whole episode, but I think most of the episode is probably outside Westeros.
Okay.
Olenna Tyrell, if she's gonna buy it, it's probably gonna be now.
Oh,
if she's gonna die, I mean, she pissed Cersei off.
You think the Mountain is gonna ambush her carriage or something like that?
We might see the Mountain kill her.
Ooh, that'd be interesting.
Which, I mean, if you know, if you want to set up the Clegane Bowl, that could be the impetus for that.
That'd be...
That could potentially be what pushes that forward.
To that.
But yeah, I'm thinking we're going to be in King's Landing. We may leave the North alone. We might check in with Sam. It's going to be a lot of outside Westeros, I think.
Yeah, I think... I don't know. Next week, I don't know what is going to be going on next week. I just think this Arya thing... I'm actually interested in that the most. Is that Arya's
finally?
Yeah, it's finally. It's
going.
And where is she going? Is she getting back to Westeros? Is she going to stay there? Is someone going to save her, like a Jorah Mormont, randomly? Or?
Yeah, I think you know whoever saves her, or if she ends up saving herself, it's definitely they've finally put her on the path.
Yeah.
That is going to get her back, either back to Westeros or where she's supposed to head. But yeah, I know you're right. They're going to take that somewhere. That's going to be interesting to see.
It's 100% it is. Well, all right, we're going to wrap it up. And thank you all for listening, and we'll be back next week. Peace.